Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly, talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. And I feel really great having that intro put together. I think, of course, my producer, Don, for producing it and collaborating to produce it. And, of course, that comes from the song with, and I want to thank, of course, Masonic Temple song for utilizing the part of their song of Blind, which you can find on their album, Follow Me. I'm sure you've heard many times I've played their past on my past show, some of their songs, including Devil's Suitcase, In Despair, Follow Me. But do check them out at myspace.com/MASTEM, Mass. I guess that's for Mass Temple. I finally figured that out. That's strange. Anyway, it's MASTEM, and that's on MySpace. You check them out. I understand they have some, not only albums, but some other products, too. But, dude, they're really great. I mean, unbelievable band. I mean, you think that you have the first, there's going to probably, I'm sure they'll have a second and a third, and they are becoming a phenomena even here in the United States. When I saw them in Los Angeles last month, they was total sellout. People just went wild. So, anyway, I do want to discuss a couple other things, but before I do, I mean, I just want to first, before getting on here, I want to wish, because this is the Mother's Day show, so I want to wish all the mothers, future mothers, or all the women out there, a very, very happy Mother's Day. Without them, we wouldn't even be here now, would we? Which brings me to what I'm going to end up talking about. But, it's pretty strange lately, last few days, I guess. Very unique things are happening. I'm sure people are going, damn, how come, you know, my car, this breaks down or that, or I've seen some really weird, I even see a cop that, was going through a intersection and then turns on his siren at the last second, and then he gets hit head on by another car, and fortunately he's you know, not as critical as it could have been, but I mean, it's just crazy. And then thinking about it, I remember that this is I guess we're in within the linear time period, so to speak, of Mercury retrograde or whatnot. And speaking of astrology, I'm going to be having Carrie Feza again on the 19th of June. She's going to come on for, I guess it's for the summer event, and she will lead on, and you've heard my past shows, so she's been highly accurate. I look forward to her giving us our new astrology for the future months after that date, I guess. I'm sure she'll have some information for us. And also, you're all going to want to listen to my next show next Friday on the May 15th. I have a very, very, very special guest, Ben Stewart, who is a renowned filmmaker and producer. And, of course, he is the filmmaker and producer of Esoteric Agenda. And he just released, back in January, another film called, I hope I pronounce this right, Kemetica, which is very fascinating. If you are interested into the dynamics of how we came to believe in many of our own beliefs, whether it's both dogma and stuff, it's brings a lot of those aspects, as well as some scientific in very layman terms, so anybody can listen to it as far as quantum areas in relationship to our DNA. he gets into the very aspects of the New World Order concepts. And what I like about what he does is he also shows what you can do about it, or what that you can do about it. He also gets into the truth, the real truth behind what is global warming, in a very scientific way of showing it, with facts, not hyperbole. So those out there who have seen the film, Al Gore's film, or in whatnot, will be highly enlightened by seeing what what's really the dynamics behind global warming. Not to diminish what would need to be done as far as energy, but he does go into a lot of elaborations and fundamentals about that. So I do look very forward to that. Also, for those coming out here, I am having a book signing event on May 23rd here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And it's for, of course, my books, When the Angels Have Risen and The Heretic. And I will be having that over at the Psychic Eye Bookstore on 6048 West Charleston. And that's on the cross streets of Rainbow and Charleston on the west side of Vegas. Again, at 6048 West Charleston. And I'll be doing that on May 23rd from 1 to 5 p.m. So please come down. Talk, chat, whatnot. I love doing events because I love meeting new people and hearing new information and stuff. And also, speaking of which, on May 22nd, which will be the week after next, right, in 2 weeks, I will have I'm going to be doing a program, and like I told everybody in the past, I will be doing a program about, because I've been out, I have a lot of requests about going out of body, about Kabbalism in relation to that, so which is referred to often called the Merk, going on the Merkava. And so on May 22nd, I will be discussing that element in more detail. So you definitely want to hear that. And speaking of which, thinking about all the past guests and future guests, please do check out my past shows, like the one I recently had with Ben Yosef, that was highly informative regarding the reality of known wisdom of what's really going on, particularly with the House of Joes, which we now find that they are indeed part of the people of Israel. And they are living here amongst the Native Americans, such as the Hopis, Apaches, Southern Arapaho, whatnot. And hopefully those out there, especially those who are perhaps involved with Israel or whatever, realize Israel is not Jewish. It is also part of the Joes, and to unify that would be the culmination of the State of Israel, because it's not the State of Judea, it is the State of Israel. So I hope any of you out there, please do either feel free to contact me or information if you're interested on the prospective event that will happen hopefully pretty soon with a Hopi delegation going to Israel and fulfilling what needs to be done. Also, I do have now a Twitter account. And before I jump on there, I want y'all to know that I will be having some other future guests that I look forward to. Some art, I'm incorporating a lot more artists within the music industry and whatnot. The reason why I do that is because I feel it's very imperative when dealing with our social and thinking and belief systems that people are curious not only why people create music or create whatever art form they do create, but they usually want to know what is the genesis of that, what came beyond before that, why the person and where their mindset is in creating their artistic form, and also things that you may not realize about the person who is creating that art. So it's always fascinating to have those particular people on my shows. And I plan to have, hopefully we're trying to coordinate dates and whatnot. I will have Denise Vasquez. I'm sure you've heard of her on plenty of my shows with her great music. Hopefully I'll also have, I'm working on scheduling a date with her, as well as Susan Tony, who's a renowned singer. And hopefully some, I'm also working on some other future guests in both the music and artistic areas. So with that, anybody who has questions, whatnot, shoot them on over. Or comments, of course. Thoughts, I always listen to them. And I always try to respond back as soon as I can. I do have a Twitter account, so those who are now Twittering, as it so be, you can always go FlyingPigs26, so you can follow me and I follow you, or vice versa. And you can always email me, of course, at FlyingPigsArtLover.com, or if you have a MySpace account, is /AndrewFetter. Now today, the show I'm doing right now, I am doing a, basically in a commemoration to for Mother's Day, but as acknowledgement and understanding of women in our amongst humanity, and along with understanding of the femininity within spiritualism. So let me elaborate what I'm trying to get to and explain. Because people, what the hell are you talking about, Andy? When you talk about situations with the treatment of a woman and the demeaning things that have been done for thousands of years and even to this day, to me, it is extremely sad and hurtful. It is even more hurtful that when we see such organizations as the United Nations, which, you know, I feel is pure bullshit. Here you have an organization that has, for example, a human rights department, and they recently had an event at for about racism and human rights and all that. And it's really, really amazing that they never discussed the human rights violations toward women around the world. And it really fascinates me, or rather not, and when I use the word fascinating, not in a good way, why these supposed nations, who are the greatest violators of human rights violations, not just towards specific religious, ethnic, and various peoples, but more so even to women. I mean, I can take half of the UN, and I can find multiple of the greatest human rights violations toward women. And no one really talks about it. I know there has been people who come out briefly out and have these little spiffs like Hillary Clinton and, you know, trying to talk about women's rights and whatnot. And there's always a woman talking about it. I don't really see too many men out there, sorry to say, which is what's really sad, to speak about women's rights. And, you know, it's funny because when I talk about when women are being victimized, demeaned, ridiculed, subjugated, raped, murdered, tortured, put down, and this is through many ways, whether it's directly, economically, culturally, politically. When I bring this up, or I've seen where people have brought any issues up regarding human rights, particularly in other, what they say, called third world countries, whether it's in Islamic societies or Far East or in the African nations or even Latin America, they'll use the excuse, oh, it's cultural. But that's a lie. Because how would it be culturally correct? Of course, culture is embedded behavior or in thought processes that may have been bad or negative or toward the dark. So when you're talking about doing something culturally, they used to sacrifice culturally babies. They used to sacrifice people, but you wouldn't say today that would be something good. Many nations, you know, it would be considered barbaric. Yet at one time, they used to consider that, oh, it's just cultural. When they used to have black slaves in the United States, it was cultural in the South to have a black slave. So that's just an excuse. And it goes into the dynamics, like I said, of politics, whether it's West or the Mideast or Latin America or the Far East. It's utilized to manipulate and to control. Look, if you put down half the population and control them by demeaning them and put them in the so-called their place, then you've already have controlled half the populace. Now, if you take that same populace and you manipulate them and whack them over the head so many times and belittle them, the ideology and their belief system will translate to their children. Hence, you've killed two birds with one stone. You'll diminish the self-worthiness, not only amongst the women that you've intended, you've already diminished the self-worthiness amongst their children because it sort of translates, it sort of transforms, it continues on. So I question those out there, those who are listening, why do you demean women? Why is it that you need to take their self-worth? And by the way, when I'm talking about this, it is also for women to listen and to open their eyes and stand up and feel who they really are. So I ask, why in the culture of humanity is common practice to demean women? It is common practice to take their self-worth. Why is it in today's culture of all humanity there's such a double standards of sexuality? Why is it in some societies they tell the woman to cover their faces and their arms? Why is it that they put them in separate rooms and areas even simply to pray? Why have theologists and clerics who write the supposed dogma of religion and philosophy, also in Wells' interpretation of the philosophy, put down women within their own realm? Why are there always men doing this? Why are always men who supposedly wrote these books? Why is it always men who are the clerics, the theologists? Why is it always the men who are interpreting the dogma? Think about it. You don't think women have ever been religious. You don't think women have been tied in and through their own belief system. Yes, there have been women priests in many cultures in the past. But they've always been set aside, not necessarily appreciated in all realms to a glimpse they may have in some elements of culture. So I'm broad brushing here to some extent. But there are minute instances where women were appreciated in those religious functions. But then they were just ripped apart. I mean, areas that are glimpses of cultural dogma, there is truth behind, underneath the dogma that has been purposely ripped out and translated into areas of making it more paternal rather than maternal. Or rather, I don't even like to use it, it should be more both of masculine and feminine, they've ripped out. So do you think women have never wrote dogma or prophesized? if you haven't seen at least half of the books of dogma, with the Bhagavad-gita or whatever, or the Bible, or Quran, or the New Testament, or how come it's all of male origin? And you go from east to west, even the Far East, even Buddha, in Buddhism. Where are the, why is there no female or woman amongst dialogues or interpreters or priests or whatever within their systems? And even if they do, they're always subjugated like to a second class, like the nuns or whatever. I mean, it's a joke. And think about why it's done like that. It's primarily because, like I said before, it was utilized for manipulation, to control the masses in such a way, for their own control, their own power. I mean, and you look at the human rights violations that are continually going on, and people don't even turn a blind eye to all the stuff that's going on. Why is the continuation of the self-worthiness is totally diminished? Even in a society such as the United States, for example, which is supposed to be of equal rights, and we even now, we have like, what, so many women within the power of government, yet women today, even in this society, I hate to say it, have very little self-esteem. I mean, you have the Rihannas who get beaten up by their, and Lisa Bonet who get beaten, other women who get beaten up by men and still continue wanting to be in those relationships of with men who intrinsically beat them, beat the crap out of them. Even to the situation to like OJ situation, ultimately they end up killing them. And yet they still go back. I mean, well, look at the self-esteem. I mean, and it's translated all the way around this country and around the Western societies and around the world. Where is, there's only one element of that, and that's there's no self-esteem, no self-love, no self-worthiness. Because it's intrinsically been put there through the lies of humanity's culture to put women as second nature, to manipulate the situation, to control them, to cast aside their mainframe into a essence of lack of worthiness for one real purpose, control and manipulation. If the society in a whole had self-worthiness and self-love, we would not be in the economic situations where we are right now. We would also obviously have free energy. We living, yeah, our environment would be better nature. We wouldn't have wars. We wouldn't have violence. We'd have respect for one another. Think about it. So they take away the self-worthiness, the self-love, the self-esteem from the mothers, from the woman. You've taken away from the children's. And when the children grow up, they grow up with no self-worth. They may have, think they have self-worth, but they undoubtedly don't have it. Humanity doesn't have it. I mean, I can go from east to west, like I said, and you can see it how it translates. I mean, in Asia, the women are born as second-class citizens. They're like property. She's in Asia, they don't understand. She's not the geisha or your property to be sold in sexual slavery. She's not your subservient, your property. I mean, she's your equal in all, in mind and soul. And until in Asia they understand this concept, you will continue to dwell in the hole of a straw hut, both in mind and spirit, with no Buddha or Tao to free you. Your environment will continue to be of napalm, Hiroshima, Khmer Rouge, until you understand and embrace, for she is your equal. She is free, free to think, free to learn, free to love, free to dress, free of all inhibitions, including her sexuality, and free to love her true, beautiful soul that she is. If I talk about within the Middle East, oh my God. Talk about, that is, if you need a picture, there's no real gray areas. It's straight up black and white. The humiliation, the demeaning elements. Look at the society of the Middle East. I'm talking about the Islamic society. They breathe upon violence, killing, hatred, and hatred. And how is that able to be magnified? How is that even to be spewed upon? How is that even to be planted as a seed and grow like an ugly weed rather than a tree? Because they demean women. They remove their self-worthiness. They hit them on the head. They treat them like crap. And that translates to their children. The children still have no self-worth. So they look at the other guy, the other woman, the other society, the other people, because since they have no self-worth, they want to bring those around them down as well. They're simply hatred. Do you think in the Middle East, you know, there's an old saying, I remember Abba Ibn, who once said, and this I'm talking about the Israeli-Arab situation and Palestinians, if the Palestinians, the Palestinian women and the Arab women, when they will love their children more than they will hate the Jew, that's when there will be peace. Well, think about it. How can a woman not love their child? Truly love their children. How can a woman truly love her children and send them into violence? Because they're belittled, they're brought down to their self-esteem is crushed. I mean, if you look into the Middle East, to be sold into sexual slavery as a child, like in Saudi Arabia and other Islamic countries, and then submitted to rape by their supposed husbands, or even executed in town squares, and this is not an isolated incident, this is the Islamic culture that has been magnified and implemented into the society. I mean, having to little young girls get married and then raped and sold off like a dog or a goat or a cow. When women are led to believe they are less than a woman and told to cover their faces and arms to show their humility, what a fucking lie. How come the man doesn't cover up? Why does a woman in Islamic society need permission from the man? Why is it if a woman speaks her mind, she's beaten, imprisoned, or even raped? Why in the Islamic world, in the Middle East, you have honor murders of women? Where is the honor in that? You know, it's amazing because within Islam itself, the wife of Muhammad, Khadija, is the one who gave the breath of self-worth to him, who supported him. Yet, the very realm of Islam have cascaded your woman. They have cascaded their woman and turn them into simple, like they're just property, like goats or camels. Like I said, to be beaten and raped at will. When women in the Middle East embrace the truth of for who they are, really are, that is their equal. Not to be beaten, raped, or sold. When men within Islamic society respect the woman, then they will truly believe and embrace what Allah is. Allah is not just a man. It is also a woman. It is all things. And until you stop this malicious behavior upon women, you are nothing more a raper of Allah. And your continuation of this extreme behavior will bear from Allah, you'll simply dwell in the dark oblivion until women no longer are made your servant or camel or goat. Because there will become a time when she is free, free to think, free to learn, free to love, free to dress, free of all inhibitions, including her sexuality, free to love her true beautiful soul that she is. And in Latin America, boy, you guys all forget about Frida Kahlo. I mean, she's the epitome of what the reflection of cultural society when a woman tries to free herself and embrace her womanness and embrace her soul for what she is. I mean, think about it. She lived during the 40s. She was, today it still goes on. She is basically the epitome of the double standards of men and women in your culture. There are people out there, man, you're right, you're attacking our culture. Yeah, I am. Because that is, culture is your behavior, your embedded education that is a falsehood. There's nothing to be to segregate. There's nothing embracing and loving about that. It's simply the culture of darkness to treat women and to belittle them. I mean, there is a society within Latin America once embraced women in their theologies. I mean, the element of corn, their gods or goddesses, Mother Earth. But you have simply succumbed to gendering to diminish their self-worth. You have told them, for them, they have to be virgins, pure. If not, they're like putas, whores. And if the woman speaks her mind, you call them a witch, a pagan, or even a lesbian. Unless you embrace a woman to the freedom and equality to pursue their endeavors, unless you cease your hypocritical views and double standards of sexuality, you will continue to swallow the death of poverty and manipulation, death and corruption and violence. But there will be a day when she is free, free to think, free to learn, free to love, free to dress, free of all her inhibitions and her sexual, including her sexuality, and free to love her true, beautiful soul that she is. And in the Americas, in the West, including Europe, there certainly is a double standard. Though you try to say, oh, we're a lot better. We've come a lot real far. Yeah, like equal pay, equal governorship, equal standards. There's even economical manipulation. I mean, still, there's the double standards of diminished self-love. You're placed like the object. They continue to send women information through advertisements, targeting, marketing them, diminishing them, telling them, oh, you're ugly, you're not beautiful, you're going to need to buy this. You need to get this. You need to buy this. Look at the economics. Look at the advertisements. I probably like 60 to 70% of the economics that are advertised and portrayed is targeted toward a woman. You're told that you're probably depressed because of your hormonal imbalance, when in reality, you're probably, through your underlying nature, you know that society is basically fucked up. that you are being walled upon of what your higher self truly knows, is that your self-worthiness has been diminished. I mean, your own thoughts have been manufactured or made you to make you feel small or needy or subservient in one way or shape or form. I mean, you've been made to feel sort of like insecure, less than, not worthy. They have created the economics to even burden you, to manipulate you, to make you feel so insecure. This is a way to control you, to diminish you. You're controlled and then have the population, therefore it is controlled. Of course, though, if a woman talks or speaks, and she speaks her mind of how she truly feels, they, of course, will use a lie. Oh, she's got penis envy, or call her a lesbian, or she's a male hater. When all in true nature, you truly just want is your true self, your true identity. You want to establish the true love of yourself. You want to embrace your intuitiveness, your feelings, your emotions, without being ridiculed or belittled upon. All you want is to be for what you are. That is, love of yourself for what it is and has always been, your self-worth. What has and always has been there. And though they have tried consistently, and not just within the Western United States, to veil you by beating you, belittling you, hating you, making you into submission, subordinate, you would not embrace what is truly there. So I tell all the women out there, and all around the world, tell them to go fuck off. Yeah. You are free, free to think, free to learn, free to love, free to dress, free of all inhibitions, including your sexuality, free to love your true, beautiful soul that you truly are. You know, it had been a time in the past in spiritual dogmas and amongst organized religions that the feminine aspects are an absolute. I mean, I can give you so many examples of that. And for some reason, they've in societies today, they've diminished that realm, that understanding of what it is, both in a spiritual context as well as a physical aspect. I mean, if you look on Egypt, who and what was their god of Isis? She was a nurturer, the wife, the matron of nature. She was the friend of sins and slaves and artisans and downtrodden. She was the listener of prayers, wealthy maidens and aristocrats and rulers. She was the goddess of motherhood and fertility. Imagine in Egypt. In Egypt today, how are women treated and how are women looked upon? When their own original order respected one way, somehow, a goddess who happens to be a woman. Think of that paradox. I mean, look at amongst women within in the dogmas of the Bible. I don't know if people understand, but there's a story that is told about called the Lilith. And Lilith, who was she? She was actually the original before there was Eve. And the story goes, the reason why her and Adam had a little problem is because when they wanted to have sex, she wanted not to be on the bottom all the time. She wanted try it out and be on the top. So Adam couldn't handle that. So what did he do? He called supposedly God and, hey, I don't want her. I want a new one. And then actually, you see, people don't realize when you read Bereshit or Genesis, it tells you really a story of the relationship between man and humanity with his environment and situation. So not really take it fundamentally, you know, what it was, that there was actually an Adam or whatever. But it shows you exactly what happened. The male eagle, the translation of that is those who created that dogma right there did it out of a masculine mind where he wanted full control. It's not the king who, it's not the queen who ran the earth, it would be the king. It was not the queen who was on the top, it was the king. Think about it. It went from, it's not a maternal order, it's a paternal order. Yet, the funny thing about that, the irony of it, as much you can, they can lie and say things, and even do prayers that thank God I made me a man instead of a woman. And within Judaism, as much as they can say about that, the foundation is the mother in Judaism, Sarah, the four mothers, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. They say that you're by way of being in of the nation of Israel, not by necessarily just your father, it's really of your mother. I mean, it is the irony of that, which I'll get into in the later on in my a Kabbalistical view of it. I mean, even in Christianity, it's really amazing how there's only males, mainly. What happened to Mary Magdalene? Suddenly, her gospel was tossed out the window. And how do you know Jesus got his ideas, and why is his ideas a guy as opposed to a woman? You don't think there are women who are saying the same thing or able to do the same thing? Why is it the Son of God, not the daughter of God? And you know what, another thing, both within Christianity and Judaism and even Islam, do you know that if you're looking to read the word in Hebrew from the original way it was written, there's no he made, there's no standard of gender that God is a he or a she, because there is none. Yet there was a he created the earth, he parted the sea, and they translate it. But if you read the words, it doesn't even say that. It flips. It goes from a gender of both feminine and masculine. Shaddai, which is the feminine, or El of the masculine. It goes back and forth. Because there is no real, you can't, it's not a division. And it's really the concepts, which I'm going to get into real quickly. And of course, I'm not going to leave out Hinduism. I mean, all the feminine gods and foremen, I mean, yet they've subjugated women to a lower caste and within their caste system. It's amazing how they've been suckled and nurtured by women, yet there is definitely an inequality within Hinduism. It's always a patriarchal double standard of lies and deceit, only to diminish their self-worth. Again, control. And then even Buddhism, though I do respect in a lot of forms, and a lot of things, why is it in your cultures you don't have practice what you preach? Why is it the soul of a woman not shown as being equal? Why is a woman are not monks, prophets, seers? If that doesn't make any sense. And even amongst, like, for example, the Hopi, the Native Americans, and though they do embrace Mother Earth, and of course the spider woman who, in their ideology, created the humanity and the world, that gave birth. There's still many Native Americans who still don't appreciate the unity between of the woman. And that was part of their misfortune. So it's a cultural thing. I'm not leaving anybody out. It is a problem with humanity. But when you get to the essence, for example, like in the Kabbalistical essence of what woman and femininity is, they're two different. You know, it's when they talk of femininity or masculinity within spirituality, it's not like there one has a penis and one has a vagina. These are just the concepts. One is of a passive nature. One is more of a proactive nature. Like, for example, in Kabbalah, when they speak of the Bivina, which means literally to understand, the understanding, is the power of love, or the Givra, which is the judgment, the determination, the power of intention, or a Hod, which is just the sincerity and the steadfastness and the receptibility, your intellectual observational power, or the Malka, which is the emplacement to connect you with Mother Earth, your soul with the physical world, that connection. These are just concepts, by the way, and just to distinguish that, it's like the concepts of, it says even within the Kabbalah that this concept of feminine and within the human soul, and there's the masculine, which is literally the universe and God. And it's when masculine of the universe and God get together with the feminine soul, when you're unionized, and I've said this often, when they're unification, it's called the spiritual orgasm. These are just concepts. And when they talk about, like, even Shekhinah, which is the divine presence, it's done in a feminine soul to respect its acceptance. So within the context of the spirituality, feminine means is the understanding. It's, people talk of the feminine is acknowledging and accepting the understanding, the concepts. It is getting in tune with your intuitiveness, your pineal. See, when they try to cut that off, the masculine diminish both on the physical realm of woman. They're also doing the same thing on the spiritual side of yourself by cascading your self-worthiness this way by closing out your femininity within every soul. Every soul has a femininity, and which I do. I'm talking about the understanding, the concepts that you have, your intuition, your feeling. You're connected to the spiritual realm on the other side. That is like the bridge. That's the Malka that connects you from the physical earth to the spiritual side. That is the femininity side. That is the side that people say, hey, where's your feminine side? That's connecting you to your soul, to your higher self, to the real realms that are around, the reality. The masculine is only connecting you to the three-dimensional side that you perceive. It is also important just as much, because you need both. Because if you're just out there in the spiritual realm, you can't connect to on the physical realm. You'd just be flying all over the place. You wouldn't grow. The masculine side gives you the opportunity to go through situations to grow and understand, even in this lifetime and lifetimes. The feminine side allows you to connect and know that where your true source is. You see, the feminine side is your connection to your true self. The masculine side is your connection to development, giving you opportunity to grow. You need both. Because if you don't grow, you are just a stagnant of energy. With the masculine side, it gives you the opportunity to increase the energy that goes onto your physical side within your own DNA, thereby increasing your vibrations within your elements of your matrix, including your DNA. The feminine side is your connecting universe with that understanding. If you do not have that, it's like all that vibration, all that aspirations, all that energy gets locked into nothingness. It's like steam blowing off. It doesn't go anywhere. So, like, if you learn to love and give love and all that energy, that's really great because that's you're increasing your physical side. Increasing the vibrations of your energy. But it's also your connect, and that's actually, people think of that as feminine, but actually that's the masculine side on this planet, on this side of this realm, the loving things around on the physical side. That's actually the masculine side. The feminine side is the embracement of the connection to your other side, to your true self. That's the bridge. And now I'm talking through metaphorically, of course, concepts, because in reality, concepts are just variations of what there is. Since the universe is really really infinite, we utilize our perceptions and finite to bridge them into our understanding. And I know this sounds pretty quasi and pretty out there. And it might be, this is like, too much, too deep. But that depthness is actually, that's the feminine side and the concept. The masculine side is trying to put it, the peg in the hole to understand it. Because on the feminine side, you already know. That is called the understanding. The masculine side, whereas wisdom is recognizing the elements that you understand. Because you already have the wisdom. It's just receiving that understanding. So, and with that, I just want to really thank everybody for listening to my show and for my past shows and future shows. And do send your feelings, comments, how you feel about past shows, questions, or even past guests, if you've got questions, answers even, feel free to contact me. And I do want to wish all the women out there a very, very happy Mother's Day once again. And with that, I shall close with She's a Vampire by Andrew Bioch. And by the way, you can do check out his music. Hopefully I want to get him also on my show. Do check him out at andrewsongs.com. And this is from his, like I said, She's a Vampire, from his album The Dreamer or The Dream. And God bless y'all and have a great, great, great weekend. Thank you. Until next Friday. Bye.
Blood-red sky, I can hear her cry as she beckons me, calls me to her side. With my head hung low, slowly I abide as I'm walking through the forest. She's still a calling as she turns up the volume in my brain. From a whisper to a holler, and it drives me insane. She's a vampire when she's calling, and I'm paying her dues. She's a vampire, I'm a nightcap, it's my blood sucker blues. She's a vampire when she's calling, and I'm paying her dues. She's a vampire, I'm a nightcap, it's my bloodsucker blues. And I try to refuse her, just stay in my bed. Still I don't want to lose her, but I'd be better off dead. Maybe next time, I'll resist her. Will it last make my left of me. Baby, she'll understand. When she's calling, then I'm paying her dues. She's a vampire, I'm a nightcap, it's my bloodsucker blues. She's a vampire, when she's calling, then I'm paying her dues. She's a vampire, I'm a nightcap, it's my bloodsucker blues, yeah. I'm a nightcap, it's the blood of you.